Hello and welcome to this podcast brought to you by the Isle of Man Anti-Cancer Association. My name's Sandy and I'm the Executive Officer of the Association and a cancer survivor.
And my name is Malcolm, Chairman of the Isle of Man Anti-Cancer Association and a former surgeon. This podcast is one of a series that talks about some of the treatments that those with cancer might undergo.
So in this podcast we want to discuss the role of radiotherapy. Radiotherapy is a form of treatment using ionising radiation to kill cancer cells. It's the same radiation used in diagnostic X-rays, but at a far higher dose. These rays readily pass through the body tissues and damages the DNA in cells that are dividing, leading to cell death. All cells can be affected, but as cancer cells are dividing more rapidly, they are killed off more readily. Normal cells also have a greater capacity to recover more quickly than the tumour cells from any damage caused to them. Some types of tumours, particularly squamous cell carcinomas, respond very well to radiotherapy, whilst others may do less well. The aim of modern-day radiotherapy is to deliver the rays in such a way as to maximise the effect on the tumour whilst minimising damage to the normal tissue.
This form of treatment has been available for over a century. Prior to the NHS, Manx residents received this treatment at the Liverpool Radium Institute, funded by the Ireland branch of the Friends of the Institute. In 1959, when radiotherapy treatment for Manx residents was moved from the centre of Liverpool to Clatterbridge on the Wirral, and at a time when a serious interest in cancer research was emerging, this became the Isle of Man Anti-Cancer Association. Today, Manx residents may receive radiotherapy treatment at a number of centres in the northwest of England and occasionally elsewhere, in a facility and on machines best suited to the treatment they require.
There are a number of ways in which the ionising radiation can be delivered. Probably the most common is through external beam radiotherapy. This is where the radiation is generated in a machine and fired through the patient without any contact of the machine with the patient. The patient is quite unaware of the beam travelling through them. The total dose needed to treat the tumour is predetermined and then delivered as daily fractions, usually on weekdays, for a number of weeks until the total dose is delivered.
Modern machines are very sophisticated. Whereas normal diagnostic X-rays have a parallel beam so that all the cells experience a similar, very small dose, machines delivering radiotherapy are programmed to deliver most of their dose to the tumour. This involves using conventional X-rays and CT scans to accurately map out the tumour and the use of computers to rotate the machine with the alterations in the dose given as it does so. This is done to focus the beam on the tumour and limit the exposure of other tissues to the rays.
Patients need to be positioned accurately for each treatment. This may require placing several indelible marks on the skin during the planning process, so that they can be lined upon the bed of the machine precisely each time. Sometimes it's necessary to have a specially made plastic mask or a mould that will gently hold the treatment area in place, particularly if the tumour being treated is adjacent to important structures, to avoid any inadvertent harm to such structures. If necessary, parts of the body can be shielded from the rays by either placing detectable markers in the patient's body or integrating the radiotherapy machine with a CT scanner. It's then possible to monitor movement of the tumour during treatment, such as from breathing, and rapidly adjust the beam to follow the tumour. There are some quite remarkable, very expensive machines in most radiotherapy centres.
Another form of external beam treatment is proton beam therapy. Although more difficult and expensive to generate, it works in a similar way in treating tumours. The difference is that the rays pass through normal tissue without harming it whatsoever and stop at the tumour. In the past, this has been used for tumours affecting the eye, avoiding the risk of blindness, and in more recent times in children with brain tumours, preventing damage to the rest of the developing brain. There are now centres, including the Christie's in Manchester, equipped with these machines, which over time may replace conventional radiotherapy.
An alternative way of giving radiotherapy is internally. This can be done by placing a tube through one of the body's orifices, under sedation or a general anaesthetic, and, when correctly positioned adjacent to the internal tumour, attaching it to the machine, which then passes a wire or radioactive beads down the tube to give the radiotherapy, retrieving them back into the machine when the dose has been given. This delivers a very high dose to the tumour and may supplement external beam radiotherapy in some patients. Radioactive seeds can also be permanently implanted into tissues such as the prostate, with the radiation within the pellets decaying over time.
A further way of giving radiotherapy internally is by giving an appropriate radioactive isotope either orally or intravenously. For example, the thyroid gland requires iodine to produce its main hormone, thyroxine. If a tumour in the gland is shown to take up radioactive iodine by using a small test dose, then a larger dose can be given to destroy the tumour in the gland. It can also treat any of the tumour that has spread elsewhere within the body. Tumours affecting bones can be treated in a similar manner using radioactive strontium.
There are a lot of highly trained medical staff involved in the safe administration of radiotherapy. These range from the radiation oncologists, the doctors responsible for the treatment, to specialist nurses, therapeutic and specialist radiographers administering treatment, medical physicists mapping out areas to be treated, calibrating the machines and maintaining safety, as well as engineers maintaining the machines.
Radiotherapy may be employed as a single mode of treatment of tumours. It can be given as curative, also known as radical radiotherapy, or as palliative treatment to control symptoms such as pain. It may also be used prior to surgical resection, known as neoadjuvant radiotherapy, intraoperatively during surgery, as chemoradiation in combination with chemotherapy, or postoperatively to mop up any potential residual disease. In many cases, such combinations of treatments have been shown to lead to better outcomes for many patients.
The team treating you will explain the procedures, how you will receive your radiotherapy, any potential side effects, and how these may be mitigated. There are leaflets and reputable websites that you can access for more information should you require it. Macmillan Cancer Support at macmillan.org.uk or at their centre, which at the main entrance to the hospital, are very good starting points. Remember, the team looking after you will have experienced personnel who will be willing to answer any questions you might have. Thank you for listening.